I just love that Jesus Loves Me song. I love that. I didn't know it until I came here and was introduced by the praise team for that song. And honestly, I could sing that and sing that and sing that. And I'm going to admit it, there's a part of it because it reminds me of a James Taylor song. And so every time we sing it, the two songs are going back and forth in my mind. And that's just me because I like James Taylor, but I like that song and I like the message of that song. So how are you? Did you like giving high fives and waving your hands and stomping your feet? Yeah, it's nice. Bible school makes us feel young. My two observations about Bible school, and I got to get preaching. My two observations about Bible school are, number one, I wish that more men were involved. Not that the women don't do a good job, they do, but it was so great to be involved in Bible school. The kids make you feel young. And I just enjoyed my time immensely, and I wish other men had the experience that I had of being with them and teaching them and learning to know them a little better than I did. So just a shout out for next year, something for you to think about. But the second thing that I noticed, and I must say it's a little bit different in this church than in other churches I've served, and that is the adults enjoy each other's company. The teachers, the crew, the people in the kitchen, the parents that come in, they enjoy being together. And the church is family. And there's something about that that makes me feel good. So just to let you know, I'm going to teach from Psalm 139 today. It's the foundational block of the Bible school message. And Psalm 139 also happens to be a favorite of mine. And to do that, I want to talk first about my cell phone. And it will relate. Technology in my cell phone just kind of blow me away. It intrigues me. It irritates me. Yeah. And it instills fear in me, McKenna. I'll tell you the truth. I get some. Let me explain. Kathy and I are out to dinner. This happened last night, but I'm thinking of another time. We go out to dinner, and you've done it too. You're sitting in a booth, and you just casually look at your phone to see if you have any messages, and it says, would you like to check in at Red Robin? It knows where I am. That intrigues me. It always seems to know where I am. I come out of Walmart. I'm walking through the parking lot, and I've been shopping in Walmart. And again, I look at my phone and check my message. It says, would you like to write a review of Chambersburg's Walmart? Now, that's irritating. That's just irritating. 2 weeks ago, Kathy and I were, it was last week, as a matter of fact, we were heading up north to pick up our grandkids and bring them home for the week. And we were on 81 North. And all at once, she was driving, my phone went dee 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 dee. And I look at it, and it says, there is slow traffic on 81 North near Carlisle. The darn thing not only knew that I was on 81, but knew the direction that I was going on 81, and knew my lat longitude coordinates because it was like before I got to Carlisle. That's helpful. But then I'll tell you something that freaks me out. First of all, you go to Facebook, and you're on Facebook, and at the bottom of your page, there's a banner. It says, people you may know. And it suggests friends that you might want to befriend on Facebook. And sometimes I just go like this and see, 80% of them I know. How does it know that I know them? And the thing that really scared me was that I have a spiritual director. And she's just great. She's done me a world of good. And I had to go to the spiritual director. And about a year ago, I was on Facebook. And the first person that popped up on the people you may know was my spiritual director. I have never been on Facebook with my spiritual director. I rarely text my spiritual director. I don't know anybody that she knows. We have no friends in common. But my phone knew that I knew her. That's scary. That is really scary. And it seems like my phone knows everything about me, and I'm starting to wonder who monitors who and what monitors is what's doing the monitoring and what is being monitored. And believe it or not, that has something to do with Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is, I saw somebody roll their eyes, and nah, I doubt it. No, it really does. Psalm 139 is a hymn written by King David of Israel way back in the day. It has four verses, four stanzas. And in each of those four stanzas, the one underlying undercurrent theme is to know. God knows us intimately. God knows us extremely well. And you know why God knows us? Because God has made, now here we go, a search. God has made a search. God has a search engine. Lord, you have searched me, David writes. The word means probed in the Hebrew, or thoroughly investigated. You have thoroughly investigated me, and you have known me. The word means you clearly understand me. You know me with absolute certainty. You have probed me, and you know me with absolute certainty. Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now, how extensive is God's search engine, and just exactly how much does God know? Well, David says, you know when I sit down and when I rise. In other words, God knows our whereabouts and our every move. Now, there's something for you to think about. David says, you discern my thoughts. God not only knows what is on our minds, but he diligently considers it. And that's the Hebrew for that. Diligently considers what I'm thinking about. David says, you search out my path. You know the lat longe of my life. You know exactly where I'm heading. And David says, you know every word that I'm about to say before I even say it. God knows our vocabulary. And I'm not always proud of that. And God knows what I'm going to say before I even say it. In short, God knows everything about us. God has hemmed us in on all sides. I looked that up. It means he has surrounded us. He has secured us. God doesn't miss a trick. He's got you covered left and right, up, down, in all directions. He doesn't miss a trick. One of the funniest stories of my ministry happened very young in my ministry. I was still in seminary. And I served a church for 3 months in the summer as an interim pastor in Chester County. And the first person I met, the first Sunday I was there, was Elmer. Elmer was the head usher. He was there every Sunday. And Elmer was an old man, stooped over a little bit. What I really remember is he had Coke bottle glasses and almost no teeth. He carried hard candy in his pocket for the kids after church. All the kids asked him for candy. And he carried a picture of his deceased wife in his wallet, which he showed to every visitor that came. Every guest that came got to see his deceased wife. And that was Elmer. And one Sunday, Elmer wasn't there. Elmer had taken a trip. Now, how he drove, I don't know, but Elmer drove. And he was driving on a four-lane highway like our 81. Two lanes going north, two lanes going south. We'll say Elmer was going north. And he looks across the median strip over on the berm of the South Lane Highway, and there's a state police car doing a speed trap for those who are going south. And Elmer keeps on going. He looks in his rearview mirror, and he sees the state police car pull out of where he is, cross the highway, go across the berm, or the median, and come up behind him and follow him. And he gets nervous, and he thinks, I'm not speeding. My lights are working as far as I know. What's he following me for? And all at once, he bumps on his light and his siren pulls him over. Now, Elmer is really worked up. I'm guessing Elmer was 80 couple. He's really worked up. Puts down his window as the policeman approaches, and the patrolman says to him, I guess, sir, you know why I pulled you over. No, he says, I don't have any idea why you pulled me over. So the police officer pointed to his windshield. He says, your inspection, it's expired. Elmer looked at the inspection, he looked at the police officer, he looked back at his sticker, and he said, you mean to tell me you saw that sitting way over there? Police officer said, yes, sir, I sure did. Elmer says, well, you've got better eyes than I have, because I'm sitting right here and I didn't see it. God doesn't miss a trick. There are things that you don't notice that God sees. And God notice, your God knows you. He is acquainted with all your ways. He even knows your inward parts. I didn't quite understand that. I heard a sermon on this. I almost wanted to imitate it years ago by the pastor. I can't think of it. James Forbes from Riverside. Thank you, God, for my DNA. Thank you for my DNA. And talking about how we're created in the image of God. He says, you have made my inner parts in the womb. And I thought, my organs, my cells, my molecules, my DNA, you created me. But I looked up inward parts. I did a word search on inward parts. Inward parts means the kidneys. You have made my kidneys. Now, I thought, that's kind of gross. Why would you write that in a hymn, singing about your kidneys? But then I got this. That in the Old Testament, the kidneys were the choice organ for sacrificing sheep and cattle because of the fat, and they burned. The thing about the kidneys is, in the chest cavity, they are hidden the deepest. All the other organs lay over your kidneys. So essentially, they are inaccessible. And the way that you get them is you take everything out. Then you get the kidneys. So when David writes, "You created my inward parts, you know my inward parts," it simply is saying, I am accessible to you. There is no part of me that is beyond your reach. There is nothing in me that is hidden. Now, nothing in me that is hidden. How does that feel? Intriguing? Irritating? Does it instill fear? The idea that God knows everything about you may not exactly be comforting. David says, this knowledge is too wonderful for me. Doesn't necessarily mean that David was crazy about it, although I think he was. Well, what David is saying is, it boggles my mind that you could know that much about one. It's like my cell phone. It boggles my mind. I'm sure I can turn things off to make me a little more secluded, but the fact of the matter is, it knows me. It knows my shopping habits. It boggles my mind. They say that when Bill Clinton was president, he had the most phenomenal memory. They say this about him. That he could remember the names and faces of people. Oh, there I go. He could remember the names and faces of people that he had met and details of their conversation a year or two after he met them. He'd come back in his travels, supposedly, go into the restaurant. If the same wait staff was there, he immediately knew their name and could tell them something about what they talked about. Blew people away. It boggled their mind. The president of the United States knows me. Well, God knows you. He has surrounded you. He has secured you. Perhaps that feels invasive. Perhaps that feels confining. But I get the impression from reading 139th Psalm that David would have rather had a God from whom he cannot escape than a God who could care less. So would I. So here we are with the Psalm 139, and we've got 42 children in Bible school. And breaking that apart, our Bible buddies gave us Bible points. And the Bible points were, just hold on a minute, God made you, God is for you, God is with you, God will always love you, and God made you for a reason. God built you with a purpose. Now, when the kids and the crew heard that stuff said out loud, for example, God made you, everybody would go, wow, God, give it a try. Wow, God made you. Wow, God is always with you. Wow, God will always love you. Wow, oh, you're getting this better. See, I had it in my script here. I better practice this a little bit more. You guys are great. God made you for a purpose, for a reason. And that is what the 139th Psalm is talking about. God, it's the big wow factor of God. It's exactly what it's talking about. And here is the most incredible truth. David says, he knit me together when I was inside my mother's womb. He formed me, he fashioned me. Now listen, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, I know what that means to me, fearfully and wonderfully made. And then I've heard that. It's like, yeah. I looked up the Hebrew. Somebody said, is that really in the Bible? It is really in the Bible. In our English, fearfully means awesomely. And wonderfully means distinctively. I am awesomely, you are awesomely and distinctively made, which means there's not a thing in life that has ever been created or will ever come into this world who is of the caliber of you. That boggles your mind. The amazingness of God. You can't imagine that, David says. You can't get your head around that. That's why he loves you so much. It's the wow factor. But there's one more thing that to me is even more incredible about this psalm, given the fact when it was written. But to tell you that, I want to tell you a Father's Day story. I want to wish you a happy Father's Day, and I want to tell you a father's story. I'm a father of three daughters. And we actually raised a granddaughter, so you could essentially say I have four daughters. And I love my kids, and I have loved being a father. Our firstborn, I know when I bonded to her. I said, I remember she was just in the house, and Kathy had to go away for a day, and I had to take care of this newborn. I had no idea how to take care of kids, none. I was changing her and bending her around and trying to get her in her sleeves and those tiny little buttons. And whoever invented those little buttons didn't have fat fingers. I'm telling you, I did not know how to do it. But when I bonded with her, she was about 3 years old. She talked very early. She could have been two. She talked very, and she never quit. She's still talking. Anyway, I was a youth pastor at the time, and the youth director, coordinator, decided to take the kids on a Sunday afternoon hike. That's what he told me we're going to do. We're going to take a hike. And 20 kids signed up for it, and so naturally, I was a youth pastor, and I signed up to go along chaperone, so to speak, and participate with the kids, except Kathy went away. So we have one child, and it's Carly. I'll say she's 2.5, and so I took her with me. Okay, I took her on this hike. I knew I'd have to carry her. But first of all, I didn't think it was going to be that long. I was wrong. And number two, I didn't think it was going to be challenging, and I definitely was wrong. Taking her on that hike was a bad idea, but I did it. And it wasn't too long until we were going straight up the mountain, more or less, in a rocky path, and I'm holding this 2.5, 3-year-old girl, and I'm just hanging on to her to dear life because I can hardly keep my own footing. And up we went, and of course, I'm... And I get up there, and we walk around, and we do whatever we were doing. But this is what I remember. Coming back down, we got off the trail, and we were sliding through the underbrush. I didn't say this in the first service, but some of the kids, maybe I shouldn't say it now, came home with ticks in their hair. I mean, we were sliding through the underbrush, and it was like, I'm holding on to her, and down we're going, and making sure she's not getting her face scratched. And we ended up following a stream out to civilization again, except that stream was like a footpath. There was a footpath beside that stream, just barely big enough, wide enough for one person. And the stream had a drop-off, had a bank, and then you went down into the rushing stream, see? And I was holding on to her, and I mean, I could hardly have a place to put my feet, and there were rocks all over it, and I'm holding on to her tight. And at one point, my toe hit a rock, and I went... And I went toward the stream. Now, I will always remember this. And she, this little girl, grabbed me by the neck as tight as she could. And she says, I got you. I got you. David says, your hand will lead my path. Your right hand will hold me. Essentially, God is, I got you. Wherever you go in life, and we're hanging on to him for dear life. Except, I thought, what is the right hand of God? Your right hand, not your left hand, your right hand will hold me. And so I Googled, what's the significance of the right hand? See, there are good things about technology of God. And this is what I learned. Number one, the right hand is the hand, is the arm of strength. Because most people are right-handed. See, I'm left-handed, so I guess I'm weak. But in the Bible, the right hand is perceived as God's strong hand, God's mighty hand, God's powerful hand. The right hand is also the hand that extends glory and honor. So if somebody, if I come over to Josh and I give him my right hand, I am extending to him the honor. Now, just stay with this. That is reserved for me. I am giving him the glory and honor that I feel, okay? But more than that, when God leads you by his right hand and holds you with his right hand, he is giving you his glory, power, might, and strength. And he is giving you his honor. But more than that, the right hand of God, this is what I want you to take with you today. The right hand of God was a metaphor for the Messiah. Because the Messiah had all the glory, the power, the honor of his Father in heaven. He is my right arm. So when, now are you with me? I don't think the first class, I don't think the first service got this, but you're my smart group, you'll get this. Are you ready? Are you ready? So if the right hand is a metaphor for Messiah, who has all the glory and power and honor of God himself. And David's, and the Messiah is who? Jesus. All right, you're cheating. I mean, Kathy knows. She knows you're not cheating. You're just helping him. All right. And the Messiah is Jesus. And David writes, I am led by God's right hand. Who is leading us? Who is holding us? Absolutely. See, you did get this. So I want to ask you this question, brothers and sisters. Looking at the psalm, the wow factor, when he says, God, you're acquainted with all my ways. Who is really acquainted with all of my ways? Jesus. Say it with me. Jesus. Who surrounds us and secures us and hems us in? Jesus. Whose presence is it that we cannot ever flee? Who will always hold us so tightly that we can never be taken away from his grip? Who has access to our kidneys, to the most hidden parts of our life, and knows everything about us? Jesus. Who leads our coming in and our going out from this time forth and forevermore? Jesus. And who has established in us our Father's purposes and made us, built us with a purpose? Jesus. Wow, God. Can I get a wow? Wow. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, distinctively and awesomely made by a Father who has sent his one and only Son to lead you, to bless you, to go with you, to love you, and to be with you throughout this life. It doesn't get any better than that. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time, and I just so grateful for the Bible school and what it taught me and what your psalm, spending some time in it, has taught. And I just want to ask and give thanks and ask you to reveal yourself to the hearts of the people that are here this morning in such a way that they didn't go out of here and just hear words. They actually heard something from you. And I pray that they will remember the story of Carly holding on to me. She's got me. And we know the song that the kids sing, you've got the whole world in your hands. You've got us. Help us to hang on, Lord Jesus, to you for dear life and claim you as our Savior and Lord, our helper, our friend, our leader, our shepherd. In all walks, you've got us by the right hand. Where I pray these things in your name. Amen. I want to call your attention to the beautiful flower arrangement over here because it's put to the glory of God in honor of Robert Faust and actually his wife, late wife, Phyllis. It's Phyllis, isn't it? Am I right on that? Yeah, of Mom. Where's Debbie at? I don't see her. Yeah, of Mom. And I think they're beautiful flowers. I love the cardinal in the top. Yeah, and yeah, is that right? Oh, then I knew it was symbolic. The only other thing, I encourage you to be a good steward of your bulletin. Midweek Connection is coming up in 2 weeks. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill, but we're playing bingo, and bingo is the popular night for Midweek Connection. People come from all over to play bingo, and the prizes are baked goods. People love taking home the baked goods, and we need you to bake some goods so we have plenty of prizes. And so I just call your attention to that announcement. You can sign up upstairs in the narthex or out here at the Brethren lobby in our center there. The other thing that I want to call your attention to is, where is it? On the back of your bulletin, unanswered, exploring 6 trending questions not usually asked in the church. I'm going to lead a discussion group. I wouldn't call it a Bible study. I'm not even sure I'd call it a study. But lead a discussion group for anybody who's under the age of 35. 18 to 35. We're just going to meet at our home, not at the church, on Wednesday evening, starting July the 5th at 6:30. And here are the topics. Why is God giving me the silent treatment? What do you do about unanswered prayer? Can I trust Jesus' resurrection story? These are questions that aren't dealt with in church, that aren't discussed. What do I say to somebody considering committing suicide? Is the paranormal in conflict with the Bible? Why should I base my life on a very old book? That's a good question, okay? And does God allow suffering or does stuff just happen? And these are going to be the 6 topics and the dates that we're going to talk about them at my house. You can sign up out there at the BLC lobby if you qualify. I'm over the age of 35, but it's my discussion group, so I get to come. On our wellness, our prayer request, just two things. Gail Appenzeller. Gail Appenzeller was at the beach last week, and she's fine, but she developed Bell's palsy. You know what that is? Your face gets contorted, and it's not a stroke, but it kind of has a stroke-like symptom, and anyway, she's at home with Bell's palsy. And Alvin Elliott is a patient in the hospital in room 1152. He's in for test and observation, and those two did not make our prayer response because at the time when it was printed, we didn't know about it. Okay, I think I have everything and said everything, and we have one more song, right? Oh, boy. Okay. You want to sing Jesus Loves Me again? That would be fine with me.